Many times folks ask, what's the difference between being baptized when we're born and baptized in the Spirit? So I ran across this information that I wanted to share. Baptism unto life, which is baptism into the body of Christ. The baptizer is the Holy Spirit. The element is the body of Christ. The purpose is newness of eternal life. The evidence is fruits of the Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Galatians 3:26-27, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you are baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. When we're then baptized in the Spirit, we're baptized unto power. And the baptizer is Jesus. The element is the Holy Spirit. The purpose is the power to witness. And the evidence is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So John answered, saying to all, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And that's Luke 3:16. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify, this is the Son of God. And we'll find that in John 1:32-34. In Galatians 5:22-26, I believe, is how we need to live our lives. And if we are ready, do, so be it. And if not, once we become baptized next week in the Spirit, we can begin to show love, joy, faithfulness, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. A few weeks, or I guess a little longer than that, in July, I went to a conference with Father John Carapi, and he was in Cincinnati. And a couple very important things amongst everything that he said stuck with me. He's my kind of guy. He's either black or he's white. There is no in-between. That's the way I am. And he says that we cannot be weak-kneed or spineless when it comes to Jesus. One other thing he said is that you have to take a quiz to see if the speakers are good. So, I have a couple questions for you. How many of you know that Jesus Christ is Lord God and Savior? He suffered and died on the cross so that we can have life and have it abundantly. Very good. How many of you know that the devil's a liar and the author of them? Okay, here's a good one. What was the topic of the first talk that Kay gave? How about the second talk that Irene gave? And last week, John talked about, amen, very good. kids are paying attention. And, don't say anything, Frank. What are the two greatest commandments that we must live by? Very good. You see, now that tells you how they paid attention for all those speakers, but you're not going to have a question for me. So, we heard the talk on love, and we know for sure that God loves us unconditionally. There's no two ways about it. You can be hard on yourself, but He created us individually. He made each one of us unique to ourselves. And you probably are lucky that He only made one Tina Cavalier. And in Isaiah 43:23, if you want to go there, says, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. So that tells me that God is all forgiving. If we repent and if we are sincere in asking for forgiveness, we are forgiven. Many of you know that I have a deliverance ministry, and I get many times prayers from all around the world asking for prayer. In this one particular situation last year, this young woman from Canada called me, and she said she was referred, and she was having a difficult time because her father, I'm not sure if he had pancreatic or colon cancer, he had lost a lot of weight, he couldn't sleep, he couldn't rest. And the sleep and the rest was going on for many years. So I asked her if I could speak with her father and if I could pray with him. And his name was Joseph. And immediately the Lord showed me that Joseph had unforgiveness. And unforgiveness brings sickness in our bodies. And we carry baggage when we have unforgiveness from the past. And he said, yes, you're right. And he held that unforgiveness towards his brother for years. So we prayed, and I had him renouncing that, and I took authority over that. And in a week or two, this young woman called me again, and she said, my father would like to speak to you. So Joseph gets on the phone, and he says, Tina, I want you to know that I slept like a baby that night. The doctor could not believe the change in this man. He was gaining weight, and his cancer was then in remission. It holds us back from our blessings. It brings devastation in our lives. As you get comfortable with the Holy Spirit, you'll know that you don't have to prove anything to anyone anymore. The only person that you have to get lined up with, keep Him focused in the center of your lives, is the Lord. He is not going to judge you. He's waiting on you to say yes. He gave us the gift of salvation. We're delivered from the power and the penalty of sin. And that is equal to freedom. And when freedom comes, it gives us a peace like we've never ever had before. We're all sinners, and earlier we said that Christ died on the cross to give us life and give it abundantly. And in John 3:16 it reads, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. So I have to ask, what right do we have to judge or condemn anyone that's around us? Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. And when I became a man, a woman, I put my childish ways behind. We're still talking about love here. We're talking about those two greatest commandments here. It's to love our neighbor as ourselves, to love the Lord above all else. Last week, John talked about that new beginning, the life in the Spirit, and this is a new faith journey. And this journey is going to become a journey like you've never, ever experienced before in your life. You're going to take on a whole new persona, a whole new you in the Lord, and you'll be surprised at the different ways that your thought process and your thinking and the things that you used to do, you can't do anymore. It's all going to change. This new thought process will bring an insatiable hunger and a thirst for the Word of God. For scriptural reading, you'll have a yearning to be in prayer. It will envelop your innermost being, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. You're taking on a new awareness of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit that you're about to receive next week. And as you surrender yourselves to God, then and only then can the Holy Spirit fill you with this new life. So therefore, you will begin to have a burning within you, and you will acquire a peace that far surmounts anything you can ever explain. Are you going to have the same problems? Yes, you are, but you'll look at them differently. All of a sudden, when I was baptized in the Spirit, things began to change, and I noticed through the years that all of a sudden I couldn't watch TV anymore. Unless it was spiritual, it just didn't interest me. I have a difficult time with music and some of the psychedelic music. If it's not spiritual, I don't want to hear it anymore. I can only read spiritual material, and I prefer books that have scripture incorporated so that you can refer to the Bible in case you have a question with what you're reading. I know this is all new to you. And the best thing about these gifts and what the Lord has to offer is that they're free. They're free for the taking. We go out in this material world and we buy big ticket items. We buy cars, we buy jewelry, we buy clothing, the best of whatever we can buy. And that's because we live in the world. But hopefully we'll be setting ourselves apart from the world. When we read in Corinthians 1:12 the different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in men. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing spirits, to another speaking in different tongues, and still to another interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each as he determines. The Lord is very kind, very gentle. He's like, no offense, fellas, like no other man you've ever experienced in your life. And I'm not saying that husbands are kind of gentle, but you know, everyone has problems, everyone has wars. And that goes for the same for the guys. From this day forward, from next week, if you will, men, take the Lord as your bridegroom, and women, take the Lord as your groom, it will be the best relationship that you've ever experienced. I was in Steubenville University several months back at a conference, and in the midst of all of these people, the Lord spoke to me, and he was telling me about two men in a Pentecostal church, and then he went on to say, every person in this conference room needs to get lined up in the will of God and keep him in the center of our lives and stay focused daily on what he is in our life and in our family, and everything else will fall into place. And a lot of us are controllers. We have no control over anything. The sooner we step out of the way and allow the Lord to take control, the better off we're going to be. We heard Kay talk about that circle, keeping Jesus in the circle and us on the outside. And we heard the twos analogy, that he was in that circle and Jesus was out there and it wasn't working for him. It is true, we have to take it all on faith, and that is difficult, giving up our comfort zone and our control. If it was good enough for Jesus when he went to that River Jordan and John baptized him in the Spirit and that Holy Ghost fire came down, I can't even imagine what that was like, and he shared it with his disciples, now we're going to have that same opportunity next week to receive that Holy Spirit and that fire and that power that he is going to place upon each and every one of us. What a gift. So powerful. And it goes without saying, some people have fear. And we fear the unknown. And we fear that what's going to take place. Father Becke wrote this book, God's Plan for You, Receiving Your Blessings in Difficult Times. And there is something in this book for everyone. We have 5 copies with us today. He has more ordered in Allison. Can sell you those books or she'll take orders. And I want to read to you what he says about the spirit of fear. Fear is another of the things that hold Christians from realizing God's blessing fully in their lives. Fear is a dangerous spirit. It keeps you from claiming the promises that have been made to you. It cripples you in your Christian journey and hinders the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. So, I want to say that fear is not of the Lord. The Lord is peace, he is contentment, and fear comes with the adversary. When confusion comes at home, when that fear rises up in you, you need to realize that's not the Lord. Got to say, get behind me, Satan. I recognize where this is coming from. And speaking on fear and the unknown, I was thinking about the angel Gabriel that came to that little girl named Mary when she was a teenager. And he told her, don't be afraid. You're going to bear the Messiah. You're going to birth that baby Jesus. Now, can you imagine this young girl? I can hardly imagine. But she did it. She did it on faith and trust, and God bestowed that gift upon her because he knew that she can do it. That she would be obedient. And then there was Abraham when he was told by the Lord to take his son to the mountain to offer him as a sacrifice. He went in faith and he didn't question, and I have to tell you, I don't know that I could do that. But because of his obedience, there was a ram in the bush for him to offer instead of his son. And so, for our obedience, we will be rewarded. In ways you can't imagine. We can walk that mountain. We can't talk the talk anymore. We have to walk the walk. The Holy Spirit will provide for us the same as he did when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan. These gifts are free, they're everlasting if they're properly used. They never wear out, but if you don't use them, you'll lose them. So once you receive your gifts, if it's a gift of tongues, it'll be very strange to you. I remember when I was driving to Brewston one day, all of a sudden I was praying in the Spirit and I'm saying, oh Lord, I don't know if I'm offending you, I don't know what I'm saying, but I couldn't shut up. I just kept it up. You'll receive exactly what the Lord knows you can handle as an individual. Personally, I ask for everything that you don't want. I want more and more. I've been baptized in the Spirit 15 or 16 times, and I've been praying for all of you before you ever came the first week, We're still praying for you through the end of this, and my prayer for myself is that the Lord will empower me. He will empower me to go out there and heal his people and to do his work. And I hope the same for you. He's told me before my message is to go tell it to the mountains that Jesus Christ is Lord God. I've been crying ever since. Anyhow, he is Lord God and Savior. So, I'd like for you to get bold in the Spirit. Stand up for God. In 1995, a friend of mine was telling me about this prayer group that was in Elizabeth Seton's church, and this woman by the name of Kay Gargarella had prayer meetings. And they were having a Life in the Spirit seminar. Did I want to go? I said, no, I don't want to go. And she said, oh, Tina, they have so much peace. Those women are just so full of joy. And I said, okay, you let me know how it went. Well, this was like probably 4 or 6 weeks before time. So in a couple of weeks, I'd call her and I'd say, hey, Marv, did you go? She'd say, no, it's not for such as week you want. I'd say, no, not me. So that week, not realizing this was the actual week of the Holy Spirit seminar, I called her on a Wednesday and I said, hey, Marg, are you going? She said, well, it's tomorrow night. I said, wait for me. So I went, and just the songs that they played, I began to cry, and it was a healing like I've never had before. And the Lord is very kind and gentle, and he peels away those layers in his time, in his way, and he allows you to grow in that spirit. As I mentioned, I am constantly praying. We have intercessory prayer on Tuesdays. We have prayer meeting Tuesday nights. I am constantly praying to bring down the walls of Jericho in people's lives. I want people to be set free. I want people to move and operate in their gifts. And there is no room for the devil in people's lives. I used to smoke prior to 1995. I probably shouldn't tell this story, but cigarettes get to be very addicting. And my son would not permit me to smoke inside. So in the midst of a freezing cold winter, I would take a rug from my kitchen. I'd go outside and sit on the stairs, and I'd be sitting there shivering and shaking, but I was smoking. And I was always a closet smoker, and I didn't want anyone to know it, so I didn't smoke till I got home, naturally. And then there were times whenever I hadn't had that cigarette, and it was really blustery cold, so I would try to close the door behind me, and you know there's not room between the door jamb and the screen door, so I'd hold the screen door with my left hand, and I'd be puffing away out of that little space out of the door, and I wasn't this size, so I had more chance, but it got cold. The first year, when I was baptized in the Spirit, I lost that desire for nicotine. I've never ever smoked another cigarette in my life, and I could say, you know, I never smoked. It's like a lie. So God does strange things, things you don't imagine. We're thinking that we're only going to get these gifts that we talked about in Corinthians 1:12. He'll bestow other gifts upon you. More importantly, I want to get back on the subject of forgiveness. We must forgive in order for us to be forgiven. If we want the Lord to forgive us, we have to forgive others. And not long ago, in one of my messages, he said, never, ever judge. That is for me on the last day. So, when we carry that unforgiveness, it's like baggage from our past. And if we want to move on in our lives and if we want to serve the Lord, we got to be void of that baggage. And I keep thinking when I was going on trips to Italy or whatever, and I'd be going to the airport, and you know how you have a bag on this arm and your arm's down here trying to get this heavy suitcase. And there were times when I'd have to hold on to the top and hold on to the side and get my leg to kick it up on the conveyor because it was so heavy. Well, that's the way all those little demons are in our lives. We carry them for years and we don't know that we're in bondage. It's got to go. Yesterday is over. Suffice to say, it's difficult to get through the day. And yes, there are disappointments, there are challenges, but tomorrow's a mystery. We have to live in this present time, in this present day. I want to strongly emphasize for you to go to reconciliation and to receive the Eucharist frequently. We never know the moment, the day, or the hour, and moments are precious. Years ago, I didn't think that, I had to go to confession very often. I didn't think I was that kind of a sinner. And I was in Elyria, Ohio, and I went to confession. And this priest was from a foreign country, and so during confession, he said, what about this or this or this? And I said, well, yeah. And he appeared to be my age, and he said, well, you see, when we were young growing up, no one told us that these kinds of things were sins. And I don't care if they're venial, they're sins. Can you imagine the multitudes in this world sinning and what we're doing to the Lord every day? So we need to get right with reconciliation, and we need to stay right. We need to take these gifts that we're going to receive and give the Lord praise, honor, glory, thanks. Yesterday at that ball game, they were out there, go Mountaineers, well, we need to go, Lord. Next week, got to get our hands up there and sing and praise. Glory to you, O Lord. It's a privilege and an honor to serve Him, and it goes beyond Sunday Mass. This is a whole new relationship, and if you allow the Holy Spirit in your life, He'll take you places you've never been before. Remember, we agreed that that devil is a liar and the author of them. And I can guarantee you, when you leave here today and this week, he is going to pour it on. He's going to say that next week at 2 o'clock you can't be here because your family needs this and there's a ball game and you have to get ready for that trip or you'll have a flat tire. And I'm telling you, he's a liar. Don't stay home. Come next week at 2 o'clock and receive your blessings. In the back of this book, God's Plan for You, Father Becke has a wonderful radical prayer, it's chapter 9, for a breakthrough. Powerful, if you can say that prayer every day for the rest of your lives. It gives all the reasons to thank Him. It shows all the reasons for forgiveness. It brings us to humility. And the Lord wants us to come as humble little children. You're also going to see next week when that power and that fire comes and we're praying over individuals that people will be resting in the Spirit. And don't be afraid of that. If not everyone receives, and that doesn't mean that you're not receiving your blessings because you are, but that is a time to relax, rest, and receive. That's a healing process. Who's reading? Many people think that they're not worthy, but they are worthy.
Okay.
Okay. No. Okay. Is she reading the ring number? No, it's not time for you. The one that says remember? Here. Thank you.
Okay, I'm reading it. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. And Martha was worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead. No more excuses now. God can use us to our full potential. Besides, we aren't the message. We are just a messenger. Let your light shine.
So you see, we are worthy. The saints also had, were human and had problems. Take your gifts into the world and begin them to share them with your family and friends. Share with them what you've received and step out of your comfort zone. It's not just about being Catholics. It's about sharing with our brothers and sisters in the Lord of all denominations. A few weeks ago, I'm going to back up here for a minute. Sounds like I'm giving a lot of testimonies, but I was reading, and I think it was Father Michelle, said if you don't have testimonies, then you're not getting anything out of what you're doing. So Kay and I and Marianne went to Penn State University a couple weeks ago, and there were a couple of Messianic Jews there, and one was Sid Roth, and the music minister was Paul Wilbur. And they go around the world teaching and preaching to Jews and to anyone that will show up, actually, about Jesus Christ, that he is the Lord and Savior, he is the Messiah. And they're bringing many, many Jews, and I'm not singling them out because I had good Jewish friends, to the Lord, and they're becoming Messianic Jews. And Paul was talking about traveling to somewhere in a foreign country, and they were standing shoulder to shoulder giving praise to the Lord. And before the service was over, they all gave their lives to the Lord. And this one fellow, they gave him a bodyguard because I guess they knew he was amongst many different denominations or ethnic backgrounds. And this one fellow came up on the stage and he got him in a neck lock and he said, I'm 34 years old and I was born and raised a Muslim. And Paul thought, oh Lord, what a way to go. And the guy said again, I'm 34 years old and I was born and raised a Muslim, but now I gave my life to the Lord. I've been saved. How powerful is that? Sid Roth spoke about traveling to countries, and I didn't even realize that China has Jewish folks there. And 400 of them gathered at a men's meeting, and before he left, they all gave their life to the Lord. He spoke about the Jews and the Gentiles, and how the Jews need to come to know the Lord and get comfortable. And when we're all praising and worshiping together, we realize that our God is a universal God. Step out of that box. Tell your neighbors, tell your friends, everywhere you go, about the Lord. And they say in the workplace, we can't talk about Jesus. There are ways we can do it. We can tell them, oh my gosh, do you know what the Lord did for me on the way to work today? There was an accident. I was supposed to be in that car, and the light changed, and I wasn't in it. Simple ways. It's our duty to go to tell it to the mountains that Jesus Christ is Lord, God, and Savior. It's not just for religious orders. I thank God the Father Beke provides the opportunity for allowing us to experience our charisms. He allows us the opportunity to have these kind of retreats and seminars, but it's humanly impossible for this man to do it on his own. Most priests have not experienced the baptism in the Spirit, and they themselves have not received these gifts. So they don't know where we're coming from. And I said not too long ago, it needs to be mandatory for every young seminarian, deacon, priest, before he goes into the world, he has to go through a Life in the Spirit seminar, and he has to be baptized in the Spirit. The Lord needs us as his mouthpiece here on earth, and it's time for us to go after those lost sheep. We need to become lay apostolates, open to other denominations or to someone who doesn't know the Lord. We never know when the opportunity will arise at the grocery store or where we are to bring someone to the Lord or to salvation. Don't pass up the opportunity. When these weeks are over, we invite you to our prayer meeting on Tuesday evenings at Potter's Cellar. We have a Bible study and prayer meeting at 7 o'clock. Kay has a prayer meeting on Thursday nights at St. Francis de Sales. You're welcome to go there. You have to get connected and stay connected. You can't do it alone. It's just nearly impossible. I can't do it alone. If I don't have my prayer partners or my spiritual friends, I get very dry. It becomes like you're in a wilderness. I want to share with you something that happened last week back on how the devil works in your life and how he's going to try to stop you next week. I had an opportunity to pray with a woman, and I always like to go down by the trail in Star City. And so we were going to meet at 11:30 on Friday. And I had an appointment, and I left Suncrest, and I was driving down Route 7, and the police pulls me over. And I thought, Lord, what did I do? He says, well, lady, you have a flat tire in the back, and it's so flat, I don't know if you're going to get to a service station. And I thought, oh, gee, that's good. And then he said, can I see your registration? And I thought, I had my form and my, your tax receipt and my insurance information on my counter at home because I had to go and have that done. So I gave him the one that said 9-1-10, and he said, you know this expired? I said, well, I thought you had, which I did, to the 30th day of the month. Martha said I did. And he said, no, you see here it says 9-1, so I got a ticket. But I was there on time for our meeting, and it was a very dark and gray day. It had rained the night before, and our backsides were wet. And at the end, I was really shivering and shaking, and the devil knew that this person was going to be set free. And we renounced, and we removed bondages and soul ties, and I said, give me your hand and let's pray. We began to pray for renewal and restoration, and I was asking the Lord to send his glory light because this person now had freedom. The devil had no more rule or darkness in this life, and all of a sudden, the sun turned on like a lamp. I mean, we were getting warm. Just comes with cozy. For God is good, and he'll do those things for you. I want to encourage you to pray, pray, pray unceasingly. Never stop praying when you think you're tired and go after it some more. And pray for other people's requests and needs. Fast and prayer and supplication brings about miracles. We do a lot of intercessory prayer. We have prayers, requests coming from all around the world, and we're seeing good results. So anytime you want prayer or for some family member or anyone, call us up. We'll get you on the list. Maureen's going to read something for us.
Everyone has one of these?
Yeah.
Okay.
Traveling on my knees. Last night I took a journey to a land across the seas. I didn't go by ship or plane. I traveled on my knees. I saw so many people there in bondage to their sins. Jesus told me I should go, that there were souls to win. But I said, Jesus, I can't go to lands across the seas. He answered quickly, yes, you can, by traveling on your knees. He said, you pray, I'll meet the need. You call and I will hear. It's up to you to be concerned for lost souls far and near. And so I did. I knelt in prayer, gave up some hours of ease, and with the Savior by my side, I traveled on my knees. As I prayed on, I saw souls saved and twisted persons healed. I saw God's workers' strength renewed while laboring on the field. I said, yes, Lord, I'll take the job. Your heart I want to please. I'll heed your call and swiftly go by traveling on my knees.
So you see, there is power in prayer, and there's power in the name of Jesus. I have one last little thing I want to do here. I would like for you to have every other row cleared, please. And just do it very quietly, very quickly. I'm going to take authority over some what I call little demons or only words that affect our lives. And Lord, I take authority and dominion over accusations in these lives now and forever. I take authority over anger, arrogance, worry, bitterness. If any of these are for you, quietly to yourself, say, I renounce the word in your life now and forever. Just say it to yourself. Claim it's your healed today. I take dominion and authority over unbelief, control, generational curses, fear, hatred. I take authority and dominion over insecurities, resentment, criticisms, addictions, anxieties, obsessive, compulsive behaviors. I take authority over those legion spirits that come against us in the name of Jesus. Depression, the Jezebel spirit. I take authority and power over deceitfulness, uncontrolled tempers, emotional pain, timidity, failure. Did you bless each other? I take authority and dominion over grief, death spirits, rejection, inadequacies, perfectionism, pride. I take authority and dominion over sadness, abandonment, brokenness, self-rejection, fatherlessness, the Python spirit, motherlessness, fear of failure, fear of the future, that lying spirit. I take dominion and authority over gossip, Beelzebub, spirits of infirmities in our bodies and in our minds, paranoia, jealousy, judgmentalness, hurtfulness, nervousness, the occult, fortune telling, horoscope reading, don't do it anymore, don't go there, don't open your minds, procrastination, and take dominion and authority over the tormenting spirit, mental oppression, spiritual oppression, physical oppression, selfishness, self-blame, stubbornness. I take authority over that Leviathan spirit, unforgiveness, unworthiness, shame, sorrow, pornography, untrust, prejudices, superiority. I bind those spirits. I'm sensing that some couple of your lives, this is like a tug of war. Those demons don't want to go and they got to go. Say to yourself, in the name of Jesus, I renounce any spirit that came against me. Claim this victory today. I'd like for you to repeat after me, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I renounce bondages.
Bondages.
And soul ties.
Soul ties.
To unforgiveness.
To unforgiveness.
To my past.
Now and forever.
Lord, I give you thanks, honor, glory, and praise. I bind these spirits, O Lord, that come against your children, Lord. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, Lord. Restore them and renew them, Father God. Bring restoration right now, O Lord. Free them up from these past hurts and pains, Lord. I bind those spirits that come against them. I ask, Lord, that you pour forth your blood from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Claim this victory in Jesus today. Next week is going to be the most beautiful gifts you've ever received in your life. And receive them with freedom. The Lord does not want you in bondage or carrying bondage with you. Thank you.